Right, it's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the Coalface with Martin Creamer, Publishing Editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Good morning, Mr. Creamer.
Morning, Florence.
Now, landlocked Malawi has taken another step in its multi-billion dollar quest to carve out a navigable waterway to the Indian Ocean. Ambitious steps by Malawi. Tell us more about this.
You know, it's a fantastic resuscitation attempt because 150 years ago, the missionaries and the explorers used to use the Zambezi and Shire River to get to Malawi, obviously under different names in those old days. But with the Mozambique War, there was a disruption to that process. And now the attempts of Malawi to resuscitate this come against the background of very high transport costs. You know, one of the negatives for Malawi's production or local production is that the import costs are so high, and therefore their production costs are high, and therefore they're uncompetitive. So there's been a sincere attempt now by the government to create this waterway. It'll be navigable. It'll be 238 kilometers of river and canals that ships can actually navigate and carry cargo. And the biggest step we've seen to date is the upgrading of the inland port in Malawi, the Nasanji port. Portuguese contractors have come in and they've rebuilt that, and already small ships are docking there, and there is a second phase coming. The big opening will need to be at Chindi in Mozambique, and there's a feasibility study underway now by the Malawi government with funds promised from various international bodies to resuscitate this and also to upgrade the whole infrastructure, like around the inland port in the Sanji. They're looking at railway, they're even looking at air.
Now, the South African government is dangling a 20 billion rand carrot to encourage South African industry to build big industrial projects. Will industry bite?
Well, already industry has started to bite because this was gazetted very recently. But even with the gazetting, we noticed that one company was already coming in anticipating this. Yeah. So the government wants to see a bigger number of large industrial projects like we used to have in the past. So it's offering this 20 billion rand, and it's officially gazetted it. There is the income tax legislation has been in place for a year now, and they just wanted to fit this into the new IPAP, which was the Industrial Policy Action Plan 2, which deals specifically with cutting down on energy use and skills training. This is now available. Anyone who's got a project, which is a non-alcoholic beverage project, because those don't qualify, but anyone who's got a project of 200 million rand to 1.6 billion rand can apply for these incentives. And they're quite generous because they're talking about 35% to 55% tax allowance. So say we've got a billion rand project, it could mean that we've got a tax allowance of between 350 million rand and 550 million rand. And that's over and above the existing incentive. So what we're talking about now, it's like 135% and 155% incentive. So we can see that there's already a nibbling on that and people getting interested in it. And it does fill a gap because we used to have the Strategic Industrial Projects Program here, and that was withdrawn. And now we've got this new initiative coming in. But to get the full 55%, because you get between 35 and 55 cents, you've got to earn points. And to earn the points, you've got to be innovative. You know, you've got to have upstream and downstream linkages. You've got to create jobs. But the big thing is also to be able to cut your energy consumption and to be demonstrable about that, and also to train people, skills development.
Now, it's crazy that the oil industry provides Africa's lighting in the form of paraffin when the continent is blessed with spectacular solar potential. Any measures to utilize what we already have?
You know, for people in rural areas in Africa to continue to use paraffin, which is oil-based, it's not only expensive, but it's dangerous. We find a lot of accidents, you know, happening. And there are more than 520 million people in Africa, they say, that don't get effective lighting. And what big multinationals are looking at now are saying, look, let's forget about paraffin, the paraffin era. Let's come in with solar power. And we see a massive initiative by the Dutch multinational Philips, which had a roadshow from Cairo to Cape Town, going through 14 different cities. You know, we saw them going through from Cairo, Nairobi, Kampala, Kigali, Dar es Salaam, Lusaka, Gaborone, Johannesburg, Durban, and Cape Town, preaching this message, let's use solar because we've got new products now that, you know, you can take a light-emitting diode and you can put it in the sun, charge it in the sun, and have 4 hours of light. So someone wanting to do homework in the night can have this light, you know, for 4 hours after just putting these light-emitting diodes in the sun. They even demonstrated that you can have flood lighting. So someone who wants to play, you know, five-a-side soccer at night, or there's a local tournament, you can have these light-emitting diodes, and it gives you 8 hours of light from, you know, just recharging free from the sun. So that is a new initiative, and it seems a very worthwhile one and something that should be done in Africa rather than depend on paraffin.
All right, excellent. Always a pleasure speaking to you, Mr. Creamer. Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Of course, he'll be back at the Coalface at the same time next Friday.